Test, test.
Testies, testies. One, two, I have two. Okay, yes.
This is terrifying. I tell jokes in my pieces every once in a while. This is terrifying. Actually, the nicest thing that ever happened to me was that Austin sent me an email a couple of years ago because I did a really stupid joke at the end of one of my pieces, and he said it was funny, and I felt completely validated. It was wonderful.
It was a Star Wars joke. It was a Yoda joke, I think, if memory serves.
Something like that, or maybe catched a video.
It was monumentally stupid. Congratulations.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 414, Bob Mondello Talkback. National Public Radio film critic Bob Mondello joined us on stage at the Reston Center Stage on the final night of our 10-day, 7-show complete works of the Reduced Shakespeare Company Abridged Extravaganza. Appropriately enough, our closing performance was completely Hollywood abridged, and it was a great way to close out this monumental extravaganza with such a distinguished critic as Mr. Mondello squandering some of his credibility by discussing our work so intelligently.
So it occurs to me, the idea of doing, this is 16 hours of material that you guys have done this week.
I hadn't thought of it in those terms. Yeah,
just on stage, right?
Right. And the extravaganza is 16 hours of material. You've never done this before, true? Never done all of
it? No, the most we've ever done is in one theater, and we've done this at the Kennedy Center once or twice, 2 shows in rep. So it might be you do 2 shows of America, then you do 2 of Bible, then 2 of America. And sometimes, maybe after a week of that, we'd fly someplace and do a 3rd show. But no, we've never done anything like 7 Reduced Shakespeare Company shows in 1 theater in 10 days, no.
Occasionally we'll do a matinee of America in an evening of Bible or something like that. But that's
seems reasonable.
Yes.
But the thing is, how do you, I mean, do you ever go off the show that you're in into another show?
Yes. Yes.
In rehearsal, it didn't happen. We went into other shows. I mean, our company joke is when there's a reference or a setup that's the same as the past show. We've been going ding ding. You know, Nantucket appears in pretty much every show. Ding ding. Yeah.
We drink a shot. Yeah.
You guys have some tricky parts, especially because you introduce new scenes, and sometimes the intros are actually like an intro in comedy is much like an intro in America, and
right.
that could wonk you out.
In sports in America, I come out with a tricorn hat, ringing a bell, and a town crier scroll going, hear ye, this just in. It's the exact same, whatever that is, 5 words. And then I go into different things, so I really have to concentrate on what show, what story am I telling?
Last night at Great Books, there was a thing where I thought you had mixed something up. And it was so clear to me that you had, Matt,
started doing a different show?
Right. Matt walked off to the side and he said, "But look, it's, you guys wrote it. You do whatever you want." And I looked at that and I thought, "Oh my God, they have lost it completely." And the whole audience was in hysterics at this moment. And then I asked Austin about it afterwards, and he said, "No, that's scripted." Now I don't mean to break the fourth wall on the trade secrets and all that, but you
spill, spoil, break.
So plaintive.
You write in mistakes.
Well, sometimes we write in mistakes, but what has happened mostly in the past is that mistakes happen. And then we, in the tradition of the Chicago Improv teachings of Del Close, we follow the mistakes and we see where they go. And sometimes they were special and unique to that moment. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, for instance, also in books, when Don Quixote calls for Rocinante and the stick horse doesn't come through the door to me, it goes past the doorway.
That's right.
That actually happened once. Liz Fitzpatrick, our wardrobe person, threw it past the door instead of through the door, and we went...
And I go...
Yeah,
go get it.
And so we that's a mistake we kept. Last night Reed said when he says you guys wrote it, he says I'm just waiting to hear a line one of the lines I wrote. He did improvise that once, but not last night.
As Mark is Groucho Marx.
Yes. George S. Kaufman.
Yeah, George S. Kaufman. Yes. That's an old story about.
Yeah, he was watching the Marx Brothers perform, and he was having a conversation in the back of the theater, and then he paused. And so he said, what is it? He says, I think I heard them say a line I actually wrote. Yeah. Because the Marx, yeah.
Yes, we steal from only the best.
It occurs to me that you make the assumption that the audience knows a lot when you do a show like this. I mean, great books last night. There were... like, how many, 85, 87 books that I had to know?
185.
And I felt as if I sort of knew it. But can you assume that everywhere? I mean, I know the audience in Reston is really brilliant. But
Reston are the smartest audiences in the world. And we're not just saying that.
That's better pandering than I did last night.
Yeah.
Well done.
Well, I was saying to you in the lobby after the show, we think of it like Bugs Bunny, What's Opera Doc? You watch it as a five-year-old, and it's just Bugs Bunny, and it's fast, and it's silly, and it's wacky. And then you watch it when you're an adult, and whatever you know about opera, and you realize, oh, there were all kinds of things going on that I didn't understand, but I didn't know I was missing. And that's how we try to write it. We try to write it smart, but in such a way that if you don't get it, you don't feel like you're missing it.
Well, and I was talking to a couple of ladies in the intermission of the Bible show, one of the two shows I didn't have to do myself. And she was saying, you know, you guys, you're not for everybody. Your material is so smart. And I went, well, I guess it is, but there's kids come to our shows, and they seem to like it too. And they don't know any of the references. Or even in this show, you know, some of the older people probably don't know The Matrix. And some of the younger people probably don't know Gone with the Wind. You know, so, but there's, hopefully we find that, keep looking for that sweet spot where a lot of people know a lot.
On Hollywood, you're totally safe. This really is like my last week in Toronto. I went to the Toronto Film Festival, and it's exactly the same. I mean, I went through all that.
Well, and did we get anything right today?
Almost everything. It was totally scary.
Well, and I think of it like Mad Magazine. As a kid, I'm reading Mad Magazine, and they're making references that I don't understand. So then, you know, I go, well, Mom, you know, what's this or what's that? So I think... hopefully people learn. That's not the intention, but I hope so.
You have done a lot of shows. Is there something else you're going to reduce?
Yeah.
would you care to share?
No.
We will give you a year. 2016, in 2 years, where we have an idea for a new show, and but we're not ready to announce it quite yet, publicly.
Cool. Yeah. All right. I want to throw this open to the crowd. Does anyone? Oh, I'll bet you have a question.
Sharon Stone, there she is.
Sharon Stone, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks for making me Sharon Stone, the only time I walk out of my house without makeup for the past year. When you're doing the fast, like when you were doing the dork in high school, who was the AV Club member, not that you're a dork if you do AV Club.
No, but this guy is and was. Yeah.
When you're doing the Spitfire stuff, one, is that planned? Two, like, is every word planned? And two, is it memorized? And what happens when you run out of breath? I mean, how? And Austin, we were here a week ago Friday, and I think you might have had one. What night was that? Comedy. I think maybe you had one that night. How do y'all do that without running out of breath, without forgetting your lines, et cetera?
Okay, it's funny you bring that up, because... tonight was a night of all, since I've been doing this since 05, I came the closest to not just running out of breath, but passing hell out after that. Because it's all written, every word is written, and I got them all in there. And there was one point I was looking at Austin, I'm like, maybe I should slow down and make sure, you know, everyone hears the things. And I'm like, and the other part of my brain thought, I actually cannot slow down now. I cannot slow down. And then after it was over, I saw like pinging stars everywhere. And the other part of my brain was like, Dom, this ain't good. Yeah, I mean, I was like, I'm out of shape, I guess.
Well, and that speech, yeah. People are so impressed with it. We were saying in the dressing room, just while we're getting ready to come out here, that it's good that he didn't slow down, because people, you can hear sort of the rumblings in the audience. People want to applaud. So if you give them a chance to, they will. But you should tell the story about how that thing came to be.
We had done the show once in a workshop production, a very fun one in Roanoke Park. And,
California.
And the Keith Privett character was there, but he just had like a line or two.
He had a line or two, I used to do
What's
this.
What's up, dudes?
Yeah, what's up, dudes? Yeah, and remember me?
Yeah.
But I've changed it since I was kind of a dork back then. That was like the extent.
Yeah, no, we did have, I was kind of a dork back then. We had the line, and I think, well, why? You know? Why is he a dork? And so, like, I started, we did another workshop production with a little more spendy in St. Louis, and I thought, well, let me come up with something here that I think would lead up to where you would, you know, really be able to put the hammer down, you know, and button that thing. And then I just kind of wrote it, you know, I did have a crush on a girl named Heather Pepicello, and it was not reciprocated. And I just kind of worked from there. And then I said,
changed her last name to Locklear.
Yeah, she let her. Well, to get away from me, perhaps. Yeah. She changed her name to so I couldn't follow her anymore. I'm just kidding.
Came up to us at intermission.
I think I really just genuinely forgot to say, oh yeah, guys, let me run this past you. And so intermission, I'm like, guys, I have this thing.
We're about to walk on stage for Act Two, and he says, oh, I got this thing to try for Keith Privet. Can I try it? And we went, yeah, sure.
Yeah. How will we know when it's done?
I got a little monologue. Oh, but the ending's still the same. Okay, fine, they say. You know, you should have said hell no, probably. But anyway, or at least let me think about it. But anyway, it was too late. So then we did it, and it worked out, and we just kind of built it from there.
We did an entire episode of our Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast about that dorkalogue. So if you go to our website and search Conti Beat, we called it the Conti Beat. It's a fun story.
It's gone through subtle changes, but really it's written. Yeah. You know, it's written now.
Yeah. Next. They talk that fast anyway. It's amazing.
I think we're out of time now. No.
Are any of the people that you call on stage, are they ever plants from the audience? And the second part is, if they're not and somebody just freezes or stuff, how do you guys handle that?
Well, no, we intentionally do not choose people that we know. Because it's odd and awkward and not authentic. So sometimes people freeze, but for the most part, because we've been picking people for so long, our line is, we don't want this person. And we don't want this person. So somebody who seems to be enjoying the show, you know, we're keeping an eye out.
Except in the comedy show, we kind of do want this person because those two people have to make noise when they get up on stage. So we do want somebody who's not going to be overly shy.
I mean, it's rare, but I guess we have on occasion picked a Tony who wasn't wanting to read it, but it's just so rare.
I'm amazed we've never picked a Tony who can't read.
Yeah.
You know, given that it's America. What always blows my mind...
But not in Reston.
Not in Reston, obviously. That would never happen. Never happen. But what always blows my mind is that, so particularly in this show, we coach people what to do. Okay, Reed says you do jumping jacks and you stand here and we did it. But then we don't coach them how to be zombies. We just spring it on them. And they always know how to be zombies.
Instantly.
They know what to do. Okay, I'm a zombie now. It's like my favorite moment in the America show when I'm out in the audience with my cardboard microphone, and I put it in people's face, and it might have been you, we did it one night, where I put it in the guy's face, and they always lean into the cardboard microphone and talk like this. They don't even know they're doing it, but it's just, you know, it's the magic of theater, baby.
So if they don't play along, we just tell the truth, you know, oh, well, that was not so good, was it? But thank you for coming up. We always want people, when they're finished, they might be embarrassed while it's going on, and they might be reluctant to come up. But in all the shows we design, we call it APB, audience participation bit. We want them to finish that bit and go to their seats and go, I'm glad I did that. That was really fun. Because, you know, you don't want to be pulled on stage and humiliated, and you go, well, I'm never going to do that again. Right. And I think we succeed in that.
I think we generally succeed, but it's a risk we're willing to take, too, because that one person might be unhappy, but 300 people are going to have a great time.
Then the odds is good.
I'm Jennifer King, Artistic Director at Napa Valley Conservatory Theater, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSE? You can see us in the UK and the US this month of November 2014, performing the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged Revised and the complete history of comedy abridged. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information.
That I'm out here.
Yes.
I can see that your shoes don't match. What have you done?
Oh, yeah. It's funny. This question hasn't come up in any of the previous Q&As. I sometime in late July or early August, I broke my baby toe.
Oh.
And thank you. You guys are nice. But I didn't know it. I just knew that it was sore. So we were doing the show. We were doing the comedy show in Edinburgh, you know, seven shows or six shows a week. And so I was going, God, this is sore. And I went home and I would elevate it and put ice, a bag of frozen peas on it. And then I got home 2 weeks ago and went got an MRI. And they said, oh, you broke your toe. And I said, well, that is too bad. He said, no problem. I got to give you this boot. You wear it for a month. And I said, well, I got a problem with that. I got five shows I got to do in the next 2 weeks. She said, well, no, that's fine. So you wear this for 2 months. So whenever I'm not running around on stage, I'm wearing the boot. So anyway, I'm running around. I'm playing in pain. My son thinks I'm a real badass, so that's good.
Another?
Oh, right, because there were eight performances, and we were involved in six of them. And the other two we directed, but we did not perform in Complete Works of William Shakespeare abridged, and the Bible, the Complete Word of God abridged.
And Dom took books off last night. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. I'm always amazed pleasantly when I don't feel it when I'm up here on stage, but when I'm in the audience sitting amongst you all, and particularly if it's a show that we've written, I'm just amazed that look at all these people that left their homes, that bought a ticket, that came out to a strange place to sit.
Got babysitters.
Yeah, that got babysitters, that are sitting among strangers to be part of this event, to see something live and be part of an audience, to be part of an event where there's, you know, we're up here doing our part, you guys are down there doing your part. It just amazes me, and it's lovely, and I was also grateful for the night off.
I'm more nervous watching the shows than performing them usually. And I find myself mouthing the words and doing the blocking in my seat.
Yeah.
And when my wife is here, Reed, knock it off.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I was definitely singing the other night during Bible. I was singing along. Hang on, there's a lady right here too, I think, in the stripes. Yeah.
Have you done this show before? Because I've never seen it written up before. Was tonight the first time you've ever done it?
No. This show premiered in 2005, am I right? And we brought it to the Kennedy Center. Well, we performed it here in two or three times, maybe 2005, 6, 7. And we brought it to the Kennedy Center in the summer of 2010 and 2011. It's done a tour of New Zealand. It's done a tour of the UK. This is the first time we've done it in quite a while. I think it's been 3 years.
Three or four years since we've been here.
I think the last significant performances of it were probably at the Kennedy Center in 2011, and then in 12 we just did a couple performances in Oklahoma.
It's funny, all of our shows are written as a response to the previous show, and the show we wrote prior to this was All the Great Books Abridged, which we performed last night. And there were some, we took it to many venues, and many theater audiences are quite well read, especially Reston.
Reston.
But there were some theater owners or audience members who said, oh, well, I don't know all the great books. It's too intimidating. I don't want to show up. So we said, well, let's write about the movies. Everybody goes to the movies. Okay, that won't intimidate anybody. So then some night when I'm out here, so what's your favorite movie? Every now and then I'll get somebody go, I don't go to movies.
Then you picked a really good show to come see.
Yeah. So it's hard to know. Yeah, there's somebody back there.
Hi. We saw you in Charlotte a long, long time ago as well, and I know you do this a lot. And I guess my question is sort of, it's a lot of energy, it's a lot of work, it's a lot of creativity. How do you keep it from, and I know, and don't say, oh, I just love this job. That's such a, you know, answer, but.
Well, that wasn't coming out of my mouth.
But how do you keep it from, how do you keep it flowing and creative and fun and not letting it become work, where it's like, oh, God, I have to do it, you know, I have to, you know.
Okay. Well. You know, you bring up an interesting point. I mean, sometimes, like, you know, maybe the road can be a little tricky sometimes, and you're going bouncing from place to place, or other times you have a sit-down, and you're doing the show literally 8 times a week. And I guess the first thought that came to my head, it really is kind of an actor question. The first thought that came to my head is, like, I would kind of think, before the show starts, what do I want to aim for tonight? Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, maybe it's like, oh, I felt like last night I didn't really connect with my scene partners. Okay, I'm going to make that my whole thing tonight. Not my whole thing, maybe, but, you know, like, that's my most salient goal, you know? I want to do that. And you just kind of switch things up. I mean, it's really up here. Your body gets tired, and so, like, by the time Sunday evening show goes around and, you know, you have Mondays off, your body's really tired, but your brain's more tired. and you have to just keep up coming with plans. You know, I think that's it. Just switch it up.
Well, and you may have heard this, but it's true. For most people, this is the one and only time they're going to see it. You know, so this is the way they're going to remember you. So you want them to have a good experience. You know,
I take my last answer back. I think of that little crippled boy. Let's call him Alfred. Yeah. For our purposes. I think of that kid, and I want to do that for him.
Well, the other thing...
That's my noble response. Yeah. That's right, for the other
people.
Well, it's also... sometimes it very much is like a job. You come out there, and the audience isn't giving the making as loud a response as we want them to make, like every time we perform in England, you know?
And it's just because they're quieter.
Just quieter, and you just go backstage going, oh, boy, that was really, like... You know, punching a clock. But it's one of the reasons we love going out to the lobby afterwards. Because even with the quietest audience, we'll get people coming to the table afterwards saying, oh my God, I never laughed so hard.
Really?
Really? Oh my God.
You're no resting.
Yeah. No resting.
Yeah. It's also hard not to have a good time once you started with 3 or 5 or 1,200 people laughing.
Yeah, and the show is self-energizing. I don't have to do much caffeinating beforehand. Yes, ma'am.
I just wondered how long you've been doing this. I've seen 2 shows before, and then I noticed today in the program that you'd been in Pittsburgh, which was my former hometown. How long and how many places?
Well, you joined the company.
1989. I've been 25 years. I was 3. we play the Pittsburgh Public Theater with some frequency. So I joined in 89. Austin, you joined in...
I joined in 92, and we started writing The Complete History of America, Abridged, which was our second show, which we premiered in 93.
And then you joined in...
04.
Yeah, we saw it, but in 02...
Oh, right, you saw me in a production in 02.
Yeah, The Complete History of America was being produced in Chicago, but not a reduced Shakespeare Company production. Our scripts can be... They're published, and people can license them and produce them themselves. We saw Dom in the America show. We said, he's really good. We need him. And 2 years later, we did. Yes. And he's been with us ever since.
Now, do you guys have families, and how often are you guys traveling, and where do you guys go?
Do we have families?
Yes, we do.
We do have families. I have a wife and 2 kids. My daughter is at home staying with a friend because my wife was here, actually, performing at the Lost Works evening earlier this week because she was in the original cast of our complete millennium musical, Abridged. She left to go on a driving trip from D.C. to New Hampshire on a college tour with my son. So they're doing that, and he's interested in going to Brown. And I said, huh? I live in Chicago.
I live in Sonoma, California.
Los Angeles.
I'll just tell this short story. Then we can. And then, anyway, he's interested in Brown. And I said, dude, you can't go to Brown because both of your parents are comedians. And it's going to be 4 years of poop jokes. And then I said, you know, is Brown your number 2 choice? Is that? Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes.
I won't be here all week.
My wife is the company general manager. She's the brains behind the outfit. She's not here this week, although we're performing in China at the end of October. She's going to come with us. But she was here in spirit. Anybody who saw The History of America, there were some the Complete History of Comedy, Abridged, there were some embarrassing slides that came up. That was my wife. She's the female Civil War slideshow narrator in America. And last night she was the voice of Motley Bloom in all the great books, Abridged. So she was here in spirit.
She's the Lucy Ricardo of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Gotta get in the show, Reed.
But it is tough to get to your other point. It's tough, you know, being away from your families. And every family has a different, every marriage has a different set of, you know, parameters.
How many travels do you do?
How
often are we on the road? Well, we have a company. There's probably, this week there were 8 or 9 actors here. We probably have in America 12 or 15 actors, so it varies. I think lately it's been maybe 4 or 5 months of the year. So there's been times when it's been really busy. It might be 9 or 10 months, but when school is out and Christmas breaks and summers, the families can come with.
It seems like the right moment to continue this conversation out in the lobby where we're having refreshments.
Oh, great.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Plan?
Thank you.
Thanks,
everyone.
Yeah, thank you very much, Reston.
Thank you.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your questions via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews of this podcast on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, critically adored Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Jennifer Link. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Jennifer King, artistic director of Napa Valley Conservatory Theater. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 414, 1240 seconds of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less. So much less. So much less.